you know what the difference is in preparing to preach to two people versus 14,000 people? Katie. If you didn't catch who I was pointing at, that was intentional, by the way. The difference from my experience is makeup. I don't wear makeup normally. For the couple times where I've spoken to like 14,000, they make me put makeup on. And I can remember going back and sitting down, or telling where I had to go and going and sitting down. And the lady who was going to do it said, "You're a little nervous about this, aren't you?" And I go, I am. And she goes, "You don't normally wear makeup." And I said, "Well, on occasion in the running for office thing, they would make me take these little pieces of paper that matched the color of my skin and wipe them." And she goes, Yeah, that's the one that prohibit you from sweating. And so they can wipe these on you, and no matter how hot the lights are, you don't sweat. It's kind of an interesting thing. And they try to match your skin tone because otherwise you look really blotchy, I guess, they're telling me. And I said, "So how does this work?" And she said, "Well, I'm going to make it so you can't sweat." I go, "Okay, I get that." And she said, and I'm going to make it so light does not reflect off your face. But other than that, don't worry about it. I'm not going to do anything weird." And I go, "So how did you get to do what you're doing?" And she goes, "Well, I worked for years in Hollywood, and I got so tired of those people that I decided to work with politicians." And I go, "That's easier?" And she goes, "Yeah, shockingly easier." Yeah, but anyway, it was interesting. But I wanted to share with you that there's, other than that, there's no difference. And from my perspective, my job in preparation is to hear from God. At best, I'm an under shepherd. He's the shepherd. So it's important that I'm in tune with what he's doing and where he's going. And I say that because I think I know where we're going today. It's always interesting. There's a couple things I need to warn you about, and here's one of them. I'm really dealing with the thumb issue, and it's possible that this is almost excruciating. And if my thumb gives out, I might drop my Bible, just so you know. But I read right-handed. If that doesn't make any sense, I apologize. I'll do my best on that, but just don't get shocked if that happens. The other thing is, frequently I have plans and God changes my plans. If that ever happened with you, yeah, that's not an uncommon thing. But it's one to always be aware of, that what you're doing is you're submitting to him. What you're doing is submitting to him. And the easiest thing to remember today, if you get nothing else out of this, that it's critical that you hold your Heavenly Father's hand all the time. And that makes it easy. When he turns right, it's easy for you to go right. And if he turns left, you're hopefully sensitive enough that you get out of the way if you're holding with your right hand, but follow him also. And we're going to talk a little bit about an issue that I think we're dealing with in the church in Juneau, and specifically us, but across the barriers of denomination and theories and philosophies and everything else. But let's start with prayer. Father God, in Jesus Christ's name, I come to you, Lord. And Father, God, I ask you to set our hearts in order. God, I ask you to never let us get to the point that you have to demand our attention, but we just yield to you. What you want, we want. Father, this life thing is interesting. And as we walk through it, God, we seek you in all that we do. What you want, we want. It's easy to say and it's hard to follow. But help us to follow you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, and if you want, would turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're just going to look at three verses here, and then we're going to move on to some other places. And I'll tell you, I'm struggling this morning. I will tell you that years ago, on one occasion when I was doing like 6, 8 places at one time, just going from place to place, you would think over Christmas that you have a Christmas message and you preach the Christmas message in all the different fishing villages and logging camps. And that only works so good until God gets in the way. And you should never be in a position where you're in the way of God. I've had to stop mid-message in one place in particular, repent from the pulpit, pray, and seek God's face and preach what He had. And I think I know where we're going today, so please bear with me. So, chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 1. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He's the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. Now, I will tell you, it does go on and say, but God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life. I'm just going to stop it right there. This is really, if you tear into a little bit, this is where we get the concept that we've got three enemies in which we battle: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And you have to remember that what this says is that there's been a time in your life where you were subject to the devil. And that indicates that Satan is real. And as a lost person, I was readily aware that Satan existed, and that he and his minions, the other fallen angels, spoke. And one of the things that helped point me to Christ was, well, if they're real, then my heavenly Papa, my Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of the living God, are also real. And that's a backwards way to get to that point. But sometimes we're pretty backwards people. The fact is if you're not a Christian, you listen to the spirit within you, and that's the spirit of Satan, and you follow what he wants. The question is not what you want. The question is, what's the Lord want? Your battle, you battle Satan, you battle the world, and you battle your own flesh. And realistically, this should be a fairly easy walk for us, because the difference is when you come to Christ, when you get to that point where you truly receive the Lord Jesus Christ, your spirit, the only uncreated life in the universe, is poured into you, and your spirit is brought alive in Christ. And with Jesus in your heart, the enemy cannot be there any more than darkness can exist in the presence of light. And I got to throw this little tidbit out. People get confused and think that this is a battle between the Lord Jesus and Satan. The equals are not present. The equal would be an angel named Michael or Gabriel and a fallen angel named Satan. The Lord Jesus, when he speaks, all creation listens. There used to be a commercial on TV about a stock brokerage firm, and it's like, when you hear, everyone listens. And they'd do it in a restaurant, and everybody would stop and listen when whoever that was, Merrill Lynch, whatever, I don't know, spoke. Well, the fact is that the universe responds to what Jesus says on the spot. And I don't know if you're a people that watch The Chosen or not, but there's one scene that illustrates this. And Jesus is talking to some people, and he goes, my disciples need me. And he turns and takes off this direction. And one of the disciples is in a knockdown drag out, and he's on the knockdown drag out part with this person possessed. And Jesus comes running up and he goes, "Out of him." And it was not a question of whether the enemy was going to come out. It was just, he's going to come out. And just like there wasn't a question when the Lord said, "Let there be light," and there was. There wasn't before, but there is now. Where did it come from? Doesn't matter. He said, "Let there be light," and from nothing came light. And I'm always so taken by the fact that he made light well before making sun, our sun, and other stars. Light existed first, and he is light. But it's incredible that we ever make a decision about that would say, "Well, the devil made me do it." Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, the devil didn't make you do it. At best, you took his advice and walked in it, which is a mistake. It's called sin. But he didn't make you do it. You chose to submit to him. You chose. So, world, flesh, devil, you're inhabited as a Christian. You are inhabited by the Holy Spirit of the living God. Jesus lives in you, in you, in your spirit. You're a trichotomy being. And if I wanted to go to 1 Thessalonians 5, which we probably will do, I probably won't get down to the very end where it says, "May he preserve your whole being, body, soul, and spirit until his return." And he's faithful and he's going to do it. That was transliteration of it. But it talks about the trichotomy being. Body, soul, and spirit. The fact is that what you're sitting here in front of me is your body. It's your earth suit. I don't know if you've seen the movie The Martian with Matt Damon. I bring that up because I watched it yesterday, and I bring it up because recovering from prostate surgery and the radiation and all that stuff, that movie encouraged me beyond measure because it spoke of faith, hope, and love over and over and over. And when everything else passes away, there will be faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these are love. So the first discerning factor that you need to have is if you are being tempted or told to do something, does it involve faith, hope, and love? Does it point people to Jesus or push them away from him? Who's speaking to you and why are you listening if it's not the Lord Jesus? And setting yourself aside, we started with Galatians 2:20, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That's whom I serve. When I proposed to Evie, and when shockingly she said yes, we both agreed that at best we're number two in the other one's life because Jesus has to be first,
Amen.
has to always be first, which means when your spouse does something that is upsetting to you, you need to respond in love. Are we always successful at that? No. Is that the goal? Yes. Yes. When your spouse messes up, and they will, when your spouse messes up, you choose Jesus. You choose Jesus. Okay, Lord, what do I do? And you know, I've shared the one on our first argument downstairs. Evie's in the kitchen. I'm standing back there stomping around in the back two rooms going, "God, how can she be that way?" And I told you that God spoke to my heart. And he said, "She's right." Okay, it's one thing for Evie to say she's right. It's totally another thing for God to tell me that she's right. Okay, so I know that one, that means I was wrong. Okay, I have to embrace the fact that I err. So you all know you do too, right? You know you make mistakes, you err. Okay. So when God points it out to you through the person of the Holy Spirit, if you want me to be specific, that's called conviction. And when the conviction is there, your responsibility is to, the R word, repent and move forward. I'm concerned by observation for us and for the bride of Christ in town. We're closer than we have been in years to potentially getting a reunification of the two pastor groups so we can choose to, beloved, let us love one another. So we can choose to, a new commandment give I unto you that you love one another. This is exciting. When there's exciting things that are happening, I've noted that the enemy doesn't always appreciate it. And so the question comes down, and I'll pick on us. And us means whoever's sitting in the room at the moment. What do you need to set aside in your heart to make it easier for you to walk with Jesus? What do you need to do to make sure that you're choosing to walk in the Spirit and not according to the old man, your old flesh? What are you doing to stay submitted to Jesus above and beyond everything else? Yeah, and I'll tell you, I haven't talked about the body language thing in a long time, but if I since I was already over there, I'll come over here. When I say things, I see you all. And I look at you and I look for those subtle things that say, I get it, I don't get it, he's crazy. You know, I get all that. I see that. And you know what I have to do with it? This is the exciting part. I have to ignore it. I have to ignore it. Because ultimately, it doesn't matter. Because, Ron, I love you too. But that means I'm going to pick on you. I truly love this man. But I'm not here to please him. I'm not here for that. I'm not here to do anything but please the Lord Jesus. Now, I will tell you, as I get to know you, I get to start loving you. And that's an exciting thing. But you have a responsibility, not just to me, but you have a responsibility to love. And you have a responsibility to love people that are different than you. I mean, I could do the little thing. I mean, one of the differences between Ron and me is my baldness is in back and his is in front. And then we see people like Aaron that have no baldness.
Yes.
Time passes, brother. Time passes. In fact, I would tell you to look at your mother's father, because genetically that's where it comes from. If he has a weird spot on the back of his head, just brace yourself. Well, it's supposed to come from this. I don't know in that part, but the mother's side of the family. And then some of us are blessed with dreadlocks. But you don't know this, but I have dreadlocks now. Thank you. Well, it's a whole wig of dreadlocks. I've always been jealous for that. That's serious. I like dreadlocks. The other side of this, it comes down to embrace what God has made you. So there's something special about the creases in my bald spot that allows sweat and rain to run off in specific directions. There's a blessing to having a cold breeze from a glacier come shooting down across your bald spot. I'm aware that it rains before other people. You know, you look for the blessing in what we're doing. We're walking through this life in a very unique time. You know, we are today one day closer to the return of Christ than we were. And you know, there's this prophecy about the return of Christ that's a for real thing. You just haven't seen it yet. You know, waited a long time for a lot of things in the Old Testament to come to fruition. We're still waiting on some of them, and it's good. God is in the habit of fulfilling what he said. And the timing is his, not ours. Your joy is a choice, and your joy needs to be Jesus. When it's hard, you rejoice, which is return to the source of your joy. And we'll look at that in a moment. But you've got to set yourself aside. You don't get to be in charge. You don't get to be king or queen. You get to be the unique creation that God has made you and called you to and blessed you to and equipped you to fulfill that. And if you haven't seen it yet, I don't really use the ain't word, but it ain't over. It ain't over. And by the way, ain't is in the dictionary. It tells you that it's a bad usage of a contraction or multiple contractions, but nevertheless, it's there. Yeah. See, this is what happens when you leave your glasses different from your Bible. So what I'm asking as we go through this today is that you just submit to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and in your heart. Did any of you all listen to the radio or watch TV yesterday? Are you aware of the deal in Venezuela? Yeah, me too. Do I agree with everything? Oh, probably not. No. Am I pleased with anything? I am so blessed that our military did so well. I shared some information that came encrypted last night and read through it, and it's really touching about our military. We had two people that were wounded, too. We had a lot of people out there. We were facing some of the best electronic warfare that China can produce, and in seconds of contact, we wiped it electronically. And it was a bad moment for China. It was a good moment for U.S. military, but do I agree with everything? No. But I was proud of our military. If it's a Jesus thing, it doesn't matter whether I agree with him. It matters that I obey him. The Max Licato said often that your sole job is to walk holding to your Father's hand. Your sole job. So when he goes right, you go right. When he goes left, you go left. When he stops, you stop. When he sets, you set. When he stands, you stand. And if you've got a hold of his hand, it's easy to do. But if you let loose and start wandering, you do what I did as a little kid. There's his hand, and I grabbed his hand, and the hand's moving because the guy wants me off his finger because he's never seen me before. And I look at him, and I couldn't get away from him faster. But how many times do you let go of your papa's hand? And how many times do you grab the hand of one you shouldn't touch? You got to discern the difference all the time. If you would turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. And we're not going to do a lot of it. Pardon me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 12, which I have no desire to read to you, except that I'm going to be obedient. Chapter 5, verse 12. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, and be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Okay, so if you're acting some way and you're not doing well, it's not up to your brothers and sisters in this room to hammer you for it. We can point it out, point out the difficulty, but not hammering you for it. It's your responsibility to change. It's your responsibility to repent. It's your responsibility to seek God in all that you do. And if you're sitting here and you have an unbelief problem, figure that out. If you have an anger problem, figure that out. If you have whatever the issue is. I love those molasses cookies. And Lisa, thank you so much for eating the last one. Molasses cookies. I am so glad because it makes it easier for me to not eat them when they're not there. And I was recognizing I was having a problem with molasses cookies. There's a reason the recipe says world's best molasses cookie. And that's a simple little thing. But every person in this room knows that there's things that you don't do well at. Are you seeking God on making that better? Are you seeking God on the change in your life? I have to do that a lot. And you know, when I go to bed at night, I start processing the day. Well, you remember on this? When I was go, okay, God, how could I do this better? What did I do wrong? Do I need to make it right with somebody? It's just a thing. Do you, I call it being an introvert. Do you introvert at all? Do you go through and you check things out? And when God points something out to you, do you submit it to Him? Like before we have the Lord's Supper, we're going to ask you to pray, and we're going to ask you to pray that God shows any sin on your heart so you have the opportunity to confess your sins and get right with God so you don't take the Lord's Supper mistakenly. But you should do this a lot because sometimes the hardest sin to see is our own. Sometimes we know and we just don't want to let go. We don't want to let go of it. But your behaviors, brothers and sisters, warn those that are lazy, encourage those that are timid. Because they, have you ever been timid? I've been timid before, and just not going to open my mouth. A little encouragement helps. Take tender care of those that are who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good. Sometimes we talk about hard things, and so I'm just gonna say this one. During the this is sheriffy years, and you know the difference is that's just another job. If God calls you to it. But having been at a meeting on the 8th floor of the Truman Building in Jefferson City and get on the elevator and it starts down and it makes it 1 or 2 floors and the door opens and this girl steps onto the elevator and the door shuts and she pushes the down button, which we were going down, obviously. And she was probably 23, 25. Blonde hair, blue-eyed, red dress, cut lower than it should have been in a business setting, probably than it should have been in any setting. And she looks at me and she propositions me. And I'm going, in my late 50s, maybe early 60s. And I'm sitting here going, what's happened in her life to bring us to this point? And I said, so did your boyfriend break up with you? And she goes, he cheated on me. And I go, so you think it would be better if you cheated on him? And she stops. And she goes, well, and I go, do you know how old I am? And she goes, how old are you? So I told her. And I go, that's older than your daddy, isn't it? And she goes, yes. And I go, well, let's think through this for a minute. Do you think any of this is about me? And she goes, what? And I go, is this just about you? Or is this about your decision making in a hard time? And we got through a little conversation there. And she starts crying, which I anticipated. And you know what? One of the things going through my head is oh, please don't let this be an accusation time after it's over because I'm stuck on an elevator with this girl. And so this is between the 6th floor and the 1st floor with no stops in between. This is a short conversation, but it was pointed. And as we hit the ground floor, she goes, thank you so much. And I have no idea what her name is. She got off, I got off, and I went my way and got in my car and got out of there. Immediately went back to the office and told my chief deputy what had happened. And then when I got home, I told my wife what had happened. Because that's what you do. You cover those things. And I look at that and I'm going, did she need to be punished? No. Did she need to be encouraged? Yes. Did I get to the point of pointing her to Jesus other than by my behaviors? No. Got to do a little bit of counsel. But what she does with it is what's going to make a determine. It's going to be a determining factor in her life. Already has been. What about you? Every opportunity before you, every open door before you is just that. It's an open door. It's all it is. Whether you go through it or not is between you and God. And that's when you seek His face. That's when you counsel other people around you. Well, what should I do? Seek God. Seek God. There's some things I can tell you shouldn't do, you know. What's God have for you? How are you supposed to respond? You know, and this is for people that are reasonably mature. And you know, you can have old Christians and you can have young Christians that are just not very mature. They're lazy, warn them. Encourage them if they're timid. Take tender care for those who are weak. And I would tell you, I think that girl was in a pretty weak spot. Be patient with who? Everyone. Everybody, be patient with everybody. There's times that people have had to be patient for you. See that no one pays back evil for evil. She didn't need to do the evil she was thinking of. But always try to do good to each other and to all people. Do good. And this translation says in verse 16, always be joyful. I think the King James says rejoice. Again, I say rejoice, something to that effect. And literally, what it means is return to the source of your joy on the assumption that the source of your joy is named Jesus. The question comes down to you, what is the source of your joy? What is the source of your joy? Your side job. You know, I've seen people that are pretty taken with jewelry. I've seen people that are taken with the clothing they wear. I'll be honest with you. I seek clothing that's comfortable. If it keeps me warm when it's cold and cold or cool when it's hot, I'm happy with it. If the colors are weird, sorry. Do my best. But what's the source of your joy? If he's not Jesus, change. If it's Jesus, follow him. Goes on. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Now, does that mean that you're going to have the same pet name that they gave the Apostle John, Old Camel Knees, because you've got calluses so big on your knees that you, from prayer, that's what you are now? I don't know that that's the solution when Paul says pray without ceasing. I think that means being in an attitude of prayer. When something comes up, you're there already. You've got a hold of the horns of the altar. It means that when God speaks, you hear. And when you hear, you obey. Pray without ceasing. Be thankful in all circumstances. You know, there's two things here. One, in the middle of anything, you have the capacity to be thankful. When a bullet is rocketing through your arm, I know from experience, you can be thankful. Well, the easiest thing is rocketed through my arm, not my chest. Big on that. Big on that. But can you be thankful for what's actually happening? Because that's also said in Scripture. In all things, for all things, give thanks for the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You got a choice to make.
How do you honor God in this?
Okay, you're traveling and you go to check in and they pat you down at the ticket counter. Then you leave the ticket counter and you go through security screening and they pat you down going through security screening. And then you leave there and you go to the gate and it's boarding time and they pat you down before you get on the plane. Is that normal? Been there, happened. A TSA agent had gotten upset with me, and because I was flying with a firearm and checked baggage, and it was right after 9/11, and he didn't think that was right. Now, the reason I was doing that is I was going to a drug court training, and I was providing security for the presiding judge that was traveling, and it's important that I'm armed to do that. His boss came over. The boss said he's not doing anything wrong. It's all within his rights. So pass it on through. And he goes, I don't want to. And he goes, I don't care. You can get suspended now or you can put the bag through. Well, he did, but he did a marker in the computer on my name so that every time I went to the airport, I got challenged, had to do multiple identity proofs, and got searched everywhere I went. And finally, a ticket agent said, something's wrong with this. And she goes on and she gets on the computer and she looks at it and she goes, oh, this guy put this out on you. I'm taking it off now. And I never had a problem since. Now I can choose to be angry with him or I can choose to pray for him. I can choose to have been, since it's passed, I could have chosen to have been resentful every time I got pat searched. And I don't like to get groped any more than anybody else. And I've had to pat search a lot of people in the law enforcement side of the career. You know, you try to be as gentle and thorough, but gentle as you possibly can, and as less invasive as you possibly can. Some people are, and some people aren't. And you can choose to return to the source of your joy. You can choose to pray without ceasing. You can choose to seek Jesus in all things, or not. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And here you go. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what's good and stay away from every kind of evil. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't act in a way, how do I act in a way that quenches the Holy Spirit? Don't believe and don't act according to what he says. Can you talk to him about it? Yes. My experience says yes. But you need to obey. And you go, well, I don't believe that God does that. Really? Then why is that in the Bible? Really? Why is John 10, 27 there? Why is Proverbs, et cetera, et cetera, 3, 5, and 6 there? Why does the Bible say that God spoke with Adam and Eve? And oh, wait, why does it say that Abraham talked with God? Oh, how about, and we just go all the way through the Old Testament, and we go into the New Testament, and God speaks. God speaks. And if you can't wrap your head around that, repent because you're wrong. Wow, that's me being encouraging. This is not complex. But I'm telling you now that one of the problems that we've got in the church in Juneau, Alaska, is our flesh gets in the way. And that's here in this room too. Our flesh gets in the way. And we've got to step aside. You can cloak flesh in spiritual terms and look good and be dying on the inside. You can look good, and the things that come out of your mouth are so hurtful to people. And if that's you, repent, turn away from it. But look at yourself and go, wow, what about me, Lord? How do I need to change to be more like you? And when God, and He will, when God speaks, and I think it, I must be, I'm, I, you know, we can use the R word again now. I must be retarded. And if it's like Wayne in Post, Texas, let me be retarded. Wayne, severely retarded, older middle-aged person comes to Christ. He was the guy that was walking down the street, and if you cut him off, turning a corner and didn't wait for him in a crosswalk, he was having a screaming, cursing fit. He gets saved, and it all stops. He'd just stand there and wait on you, wave at you. Just stand and wait. And his pastor, he'd give this pastor once a week, and they'd spend a few hours together. Sometimes they'd go for a ride or go down and get an ice cream cone or just sit in the office and talk. One day he was riding with Brother Glenn, and he goes, "Brother Glenn?" And he goes, "Yes, Wayne." And he goes, "You see that field out there?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Not many cattle." And he said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Do you know why that is, Brother Glenn?" And Glenn goes, "No, Wayne, why is that?" And he goes, "Not much to eat. Not much to eat." That's good insight. He was the one that went to the head of the oil company in Post, Texas, and told Glenn he was going to go down and talk to him. And Glenn said, "Well, good. Why? Why are you going to go down and talk to him?" And he goes, "He needs to come to Jesus." And so he goes in and he's talking with the receptionist, and she's not having any of this. But the man hears what's going on. He says, "I'll send Wayne on in. Everybody knows Wayne." So Wayne comes in. He has him sit down, he goes, "What can I do for you, Wayne?" Because he's going to take care of the poor retarded guy. And Wayne lays out the gospel to him. And he said, "You want to ask Jesus into your heart now?" And the man says, "Well, Wayne, thank you for all your effort, but I think I'm fine like I am." And Wayne stands up and he says, "Well, I guess that means you'll go to hell then." And he turns and starts walking out of the office. And the guy goes, "Wayne, come back here." And gets on his knees in his office in front of the retarded Christian and ask Jesus into his heart. So when God tells you to go see somebody, are you going to be Wayne, or are you going to be one who lets the opportunity pass? I can't answer that for you, but I can tell you the choice will be there. Set aside your flesh. That's that dying to self. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You crucify your old man. You seek the Lord all the time. And then you hold his hand. You walk with him. You do what he says. There's no greater joy. You return to the source of your joy. You walk holding his hand. We were struggling singing some today. And we practiced, and the practice was great. And the screen was, it was all great. We have problems where that screen just goes whipping on us. You know, I've been here one time where we used to have nursery in there, and we were having a terrible time with nursery. Kids were just screaming. And finally, we just started playing praise music in there. And over about a 5-minute period, the kids just got quiet and they were at peace. We had a problem. We had an enemy problem in the nursery. Don't let us have an enemy problem in this room. Don't let there be an enemy problem in your living room or your bedroom or your kitchen or your bathroom. Be free, but take that at its face. Be free to obey the Lord. Be free to walk hand in hand with Jesus. That's what liberty is. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus Christ's name, we come to you. And Father, I want to thank you, literally, Lord, for all things. Lord, I ask God, in Jesus Christ's name, that you help us to walk in a way where we know we're holding your hand. Lord, I ask you to search us out as we're preparing for the Lord's Supper. I ask you to search us out. Shine the light of your Holy Spirit throughout our being and any dark places that we have that we're holding back from you. I ask you to reveal to us that we can embrace and we can change. We just want you, Jesus. We want you to walk where we know that you're just loving us, and help us to know how to love you.
God, I often say that we love you and we adore you. We want to, and hopefully we do. And by your grace, God, we want to be a blessing to you. We want the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, the actions of our body to be pleasing in your sight. God, help us to be what you've called us to be. Father, for the ones that would be here, but you've sent forth today, God, I ask you to bless them, even at Salvation Army right now. And God, I ask you to bless Peter and his wife as they're traveling and restore their souls, God. And Father, for the Sewings, I ask you to bless their travels. And God, just reveal your joy in their lives as they go. Help them to be a good witness for you. For those of us that are here right now, thank you. God, thank you for every person in this room. And Father, for the ones that are preparing to go, I ask you to bless them. I ask you to fill them with your Holy Spirit. But I pray for those that have just returned, that here you bless them and fill them with your Spirit. Father, as we go forth from here later to a few minutes later, let us be the vessel that's filled with the light of the world, you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.